This is News and Notes. I'm Michelle Martin, in for Farai Chidea. There's big buzz about Democratic Senator Joseph Biden this week, but it's not exactly the kind of excitement he was hoping for. After announcing his decision to enter the 2008 presidential race on Wednesday, Biden found himself launching a campaign of damage control. In an interview with the New York Observer, published the same day, Biden described Illinois Senator Barack Obama, also a budding presidential contender, as the first mainstream African-American who's articulate, bright, and clean, and a nice-looking guy. Oops! The blogosphere went crazy, Biden had to backpedal, and now some pundits are even wondering whether his campaign is over already. How bad is it? We'll ask a group of experts. Judy Smith knows a thing or two about damage control. She's a crisis communications consultant who has advised high-profile clients like former White House intern Monica Lewinsky and embattled Louisiana Congressman William Jefferson. Judy is an attorney. She also served as deputy press secretary to former President George W. Bush. She now heads Impact Strategies in Washington, D.C. Welcome, Judy.
Good to be here.
Also with us is Robert George, a regular Roundtable contributor. Robert is former senior writer for Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich. Now he writes editorials for the New York Post. Hi, George. I'm sorry. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Martin. I'm
Michelle. I'm just dazzled by your presence. Sorry. And also joining us, Ron Walters, another News and Notes regular. He rounds out our panel. Ron worked with Reverend Jesse Jackson during his political campaigns. He teaches leadership and government at the University of Maryland in College Park. Welcome, Professor Walters.
Hello, everybody.
Was this a big oops or a little oops, Judy?
I think this was a big oops. I think it certainly affects his campaign tremendously. And what he failed to do in trying to clean up the oops was to make the oops worse. If you recall in his statement, he mentioned that, well, I'm sure Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton would understand what I meant by what I was trying to say. And instead of ending it, he just invited comment from Reverend Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and said, no, he had no idea. They had absolutely no idea what he meant.
So, yeah, he made it worse.
Yes, absolutely, instead of ending it, absolutely.
Ron Walters, big oops or little oops?
Yeah, I think it's big. And the reason, of course, is the political effect of it is that this is a crowded field. And you don't make a lot of errors in this field. The marginal errors are the ones that are going to kill you. And with a black base, of course, the black base is very important in the Democratic primary. It constitutes anywhere 20-25% of the vote. So you can ill afford, you know, to come to that particular constituency, making errors.
Robert George, I'm thinking some people might not see what the big deal is, so I think we should go down the list of adjectives and see exactly what caused the ruckus. I'm going to make a command decision and take out nice-looking man, because I think we all agree he is fine.
Okay,
I think
nice
we can agree that he's a nice-looking
man.
Okay, let's start with mainstream. Problem?
Well, obviously, there's this question of what constitutes mainstream. I would say that is the mildest of it. However, if you listen to the tape, the actual phrase he said, he's the first sorta mainstream. So that also there's a qualifier in there which I didn't understand. But mainstream, I would say, is the least problematic word in the entire statement.
Judy, Ron, is mainstream a problem? Is that what caused the problem?
I don't think that's caused the main problem, but certainly it was one of those things that was inaccurate that he failed to correct.
I mean, I think when he said
mainstream, he's talking about something else, though. I think, let's be clear, he's talking about a candidate that appeals to the white majority, and that's sort of the subtext of this.
That was part of the problem. Is that you That's feel that he was make he was signaling something?
I also thought he was talking about somebody who's coming out not so much out of say the civil rights movement, but more of a sort of secular based politics. That was my kind of interpretation of that.
African American, was that a problem? No.
Yeah.
Okay. Articulate, Ron Walters, is that a problem?
Well, yes, a problem obviously because you're talking about Jesse Jackson, who gave arguably the best speech. The 1984 Democratic Convention, well-regarded speech, has always been articulate, eloquent. Same thing with Al Sharpton in the 2004 cycle. He came away from that with having done a great speech. And
so he's not the first. He's certainly not the first articulate.
And since we're in New York City, let's not forget Shirley Chisholm. You know, who'd be able to turn quite a phrase back in the day as well.
Well, what about the fact that some people, African-Americans, find it patronizing to be called articulate, particularly if you're a public official whose job is to be articulate, to talk?
I had this when I was in college. I had some white roommates, and I would point out. I said, whenever you hear the word articulate, 9 times out of 10, if it's a if there's a commentator on TV, 9 times out of 10, he's talking about a black person, because it's a word that it's kind of a condescending.
For intelligence.
Well, it's like, oh my goodness, he's
them for intelligence, for especially where African Americans are concerned, because you know they're not supposed to be familiar with the English language.
But is that? I'm just wondering if articulate is still kind of the thing that causes African Americans to bristle, because I think it's fair to say that there's been a lot of commentary in recent years about the fact that our current president is not as articulate as he might be. I mean, he may have other, you know, important leadership qualities, but the fact is all political figures are not articulate. So is it really wrong to point out when someone is?
But it's the same inference, even with the president of the United States, because a lot of people think that there's something lacking in his intelligence. And so this is really regarded as a euphemism for that kind of concept.
Okay. Bright. Was bright the problem, calling him bright?
Well, I mean, I think again, all of these kind of things you can ask whether these are condescending in the terms of using them towards Barack Obama. But the inference is always that the people who came before him were not articulate, were not bright, were not. That's the next one.
Let's go to the big one. Clean. Ron Walters.
Here we go. That one caused Al Sharpton to say, I shave and I shower every day. Again, it was a very crude and inarticulate way of trying to say that here is somebody who is a personable, attractive person.
Jenny, what do you, I mean, Mr. Biden can speak for himself, but clean, how did clean strike you?
Well, clean, I think, was very offensive. I think the whole statement together was offensive. Clean, that he once again appealed to the mainstream, that he was clean cut, that his look and his mannerism would be acceptable.
I also think he could have meant ethically clean. There's not a certain amount of baggage that might come.
The only reason why I didn't think he meant that was because in the context in which he said that, it was really about bright, clean, and nice looking. So that's
says,
what I didn't think.
Yeah, I don't think he meant that either. Because
you don't think he meant free of political baggage?
No.
Because here is a candidate who has already admitted that he experimented with drugs, so he couldn't have meant that.
That's a good point.
He said, I'm going to move on to another topic in a minute, but he said that he was referring to a phrase his mother used to use, which is clean as a whistle, sharp as a tack. Do you buy that? Judy Smith, do you buy that?
No, and I don't think anybody else bought that as well. Go ahead.
The entire thing, though, sounds very patronizing. Now, you can make the point that, you know, Biden is whatever he was, 61, 62, and so he's like looking at Obama as being a noticeably younger man, you know, who's in his mid 40s. But it makes him sound like, if I can use the expression here, makes him sound like a little boy, saying, "Oh, you know, clean as a whistle, sharp as a tack," kind of thing. And Obama is a political rival. Regardless, now if he wants to make points about his experience and all this other kind of stuff, fine. But otherwise.
Hold on a second, Ron. Let's move into the whole question of how Biden has addressed this question. Judy, you started to talk about this.
Yeah,
his containment strategy so far. He went on Comedy Central, and then he's been on Reverend Sharpton's radio show, and he called, you know, Barack Obama, he called Jesse Jackson, called Al Sharpton to kind of explain himself. What do you think about that? Do you think that's an effective way to address this?
Well, I think it was an effective way to address it, except for the fact of what he said. I mean, to use his phrase, he wasn't articulate. The point that he made was that was not what I meant to say. But when he was trying to explain what he meant to say, he invited further comment. He did not make any attempt early on whatsoever to clean up any of the inaccuracies, as our panel just pointed out, about there were so many other candidates running for president. And I also thought it was pretty interesting. There were not a lot of people that came to his defense saying, oh, he's not this kind of person that did not mean to say this.
What should he do now?
I think
you were advising him.
If he were wise enough to
hire you at this point, what would you tell him to do?
I would tell him not to comment on it further and move along in the campaign if he thinks that he has a chance.
Robert George.
I was just going to say that what little chance that Biden had in this crowded field is completely gone. If I was to advise him, I would tell him, you know, John Kerry realized that what little chance that he had in the Democratic primary this time around probably went away when he made that foolish joke right before the election in 2006. And I think this is the case here. He's entered into the race and blown himself up in the first day.
Ron Walters, what do you think? Do you think he's got a chance still?
Well, no, I think that when you look at this, as I said, it's a crowded field. But it really shows us something about a portrait of an individual who is unsophisticated in these kind of racial issues. And I think that that person is likely to stumble again, has already stumbled. He's made some errant comments about Native Americans.
And Pakistanis in 7-Eleven stores.
Yeah, and Joe Biden has, you know, his foot and mouth problem. He talks a lot, and he's well known on the Hill, somebody who sort of goes on and on and on and on without making a point. So in this case, he made a point. It was a wrong one.
The other thing I think that's notable about it is that he was saying that he was running on his foreign policy experience and his ability to deal in foreign policy and leaders. Certainly this country, it's made up of individuals that have various backgrounds. And how would he deal with those individuals from foreign countries and different racial and ethnical issues?
Judy, I'm sorry to cut you off. We only have a couple seconds left. I wanted to ask whether, Ron Walters, maybe you could take this. Is this actually poses a problem in a way for Democrats? Because this whole conversation, not just being a problem for Joe Biden, but maybe a problem for Democrats, in raising this question of whether Democrats are so caught up in racial politics that they have to spend days talking about something like this, which, you know, icky and personally offensive and just annoying. Does it give yet another it's more to this sort of stereotype that Democrats are just so caught up in racial politics that that's all they talk about. And I'm afraid I'm going to have to give like 10 seconds to answer that question. I'm sorry.
No, all I have to do is point to Makaka and Trent Lott.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Okay. Okay. Good job.
Good job, Ron. Ron Walters is a regular contributor to our Political Corner segment. He teaches government and politics at the University of Maryland, College Park. Judy Smith is president of Impact Strategies, located in Washington, D.C., and Robert George is a regular roundtable contributor and an editorial writer for the New York Post. He's with us at NPR's New York Bureau. Thank you so much for all of you coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.